We're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu remains the central figure from now to the end of Chumash Devarim. With the exception of Parsha Tetzaveh and possibly Nitzavim, depending if it's separate or not, Moshe Rabbeinu's name appears in every single Parsha. And you ask yourselves, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see in Moshe Rabbeinu? Why was he chosen to be the leader par excellence that Am Yisrael has known since its inception? What was that sterling characteristic that Moshe Rabbeinu had? The Midrash tells us a famous story that Moshe Rabbeinu was taking care of Yisrael's sheep, his goats. And there was one goat, one gedi that ran away in the midbar. And Moshe Rabbeinu runs after the gedi, and he gets there, and he finally reaches the gedi. The gedi had reached some water hole and started to drink. And Moshe Rabbeinu realized that the gedi was very thirsty. Poor little goat. And if it was thirsty, it must also be very tired from running there. So he picks up the gedi and he's going to carry it back. Moshe Rabbeinu said, my people need a shepherd. And you're the kind of shepherd that I want to lead my people. That if you can take care of one goat, and you have so much compassion, you're the kind of person I want to take care of Am Yisrael. But that really isn't the first time that we see Moshe Rabbeinu's greatness. I think the Torah tells us that it happened many, many years earlier. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know the story, grows up in Paro's palace. And in Perek Beis, Pasuk Yud, it tells us, Vayigdal hayeled. The child grows up, Vativyeh lebat Paro, Vayila leben. Yocheved, who had been nursing Moshe Rabbeinu, brings Moshe to Bat Paro, and she adopts him as his son, as her son. And the very next pasuk says, "Vayi bayom mehem vayigdal Moshe." So Mefarshim say, one second, pasuk Yud, it says vayigdal hayeled. Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says vayigdal Moshe. Just told us vayigdal. What happened now? So Rashi says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi Harishon Nekoma." The first one is he just got older. He wasn't anymore a little child. Vasheni Lugdula, the second was Vayigdal, that he became great. Shemino Paro al Beito. Paro appointed him to be in charge of his household. See, here is Moshe, in charge of Paro's household. You can't get much higher than that in Egypt unless you're Paro himself. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Vayigdal Moshe, Vayetze Alecha. He goes out to see what's doing with his brothers. Vayab Sivlota. And he sees that they're suffering. It says Rashi, Natav Einatan Eina Velibo Liot Meitzar Aleha. He put his eye in his heart, as we would probably say, his heart and his soul, to identify with the pain and the suffering that they were going through. He didn't have to do that. He had it all. Here he is in charge of Paro's household. And yet he goes out to see somebody who's less fortunate. And when he sees an Ish Mitzri being Maka and Ish Ivri, he steps forward and he takes care of the Ish Mitzri. And he endangers his whole position, and he loses it all. He has to run away. Many years ago, there used to be a commercial. It said that rank has its privileges. But that's not the Torah's perspective. Rank has its responsibilities. You're great. You're in charge of Pyro's household. So what are your responsibilities? Svayetze Alecha. Vayavisiv Lotav. Where does Moshe Rabbeinu learn this from? I think that he learns it, I'm sure he learned it from his parents, but even more so from his adoptive mother, from Bas Paro. What do we know about Bas Paro? Moshe Rabbeinu is put in a basket. He's put in the reeds by the Yor. Vateret bat Paro lechotz al Yor. So you read the Pesukim, bat Paro went to go swimming. Living a life of leisure. She's the daughter of the king. V'narotah holchot al yad Yor. And she has narot. She has lots of maidservants. Chazal tell us she wasn't going to swim. What was she doing there? Gemara Megillah tells us that Bat Paro Yorda Lichotz Migilulei Beit Avia. She wanted to cleanse herself from the Avodah Zarah of her father's house to do a kind of Geirus. What was going on here? Why does it say from the Avodah Zarah of her father's house? Why not to say just to get rid of the Avodah Zarah? Chasam Sofer is an interesting explanation and understanding. It says Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim. And when Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, the famine suddenly ended. And Yaakov Avinu gave Paro a bracha. And he gave him a bracha that the Nilus would be Ola L'Raglav, that when Paro would approach the Nile River would rise to him. And would help look, make Paro look great in the eyes of the people. But everybody knew that the bracha in Mitzrayim came from Yaakov. Because of Yaakov and his descendants, no one would ever think of harming them. That's how Mitzrayim was blessed. But Vayakom Elachadash El Mitzrayim Asholo Yadas Yosef. There's a new king who comes along. And he has a different perspective. He comes along and he says, Li Ayor Vani Asisani, I am God. I am great. Look at me. The awe rises to me because I am God. Nothing to do with Yaakov, nothing to do with Yosef, nothing to do with Bnei Yisrael. They're not the source of Egypt's prosperity. It is I, Pharaoh God. And once he does that, he's able to convince everybody, Havan is Chakmala. Let's get those Bnei Yisrael people. But there's one person who knew the truth. And that was his daughter. She knew it was all a lie. She knew her father wasn't a god. She knew that everything came because of that old man Yaakov who gave him a blessing. And despite her rank, despite that she was Paro's daughter, she didn't want to have anything to do with this. She went to the Or to rid herself of that ideology. And when she sees a basket and she opens it up and she sees Nar Bochev Atomim Yalda Yaivrim Zeh, then I'm going to save him. Because I know that it's only because of these Ivriim that Egypt is blessed. I don't care about my father. I don't care about my position. And she takes the baby. The Miriam comes and she sends the baby to be nursed by Yocheved, and the baby is returned. She gives the baby a name. It's fascinating. Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu had many names. It's like little children. You know, the father calls them one name, the mother calls them another name, the brother a third name, the father says, it's exactly Moshe Rabbeinu. Amram called him one name, and Yocheved called him a second name, and Miriam had a name for him, and Aaron had a name for him, and his grandfather a name for him. We know what those names are, but those names were never used. There's only one name that was used. And that's the name that Bas Parah gave. And what does she call him? She calls him Moshe. Why? Ki min ha-mayim mishisiu, because I drew him from the water. Well, then his name shouldn't be Moshe. It should be Mashui. He who was drawn forth. Moshe means to draw out. He wasn't a Moshe. It was Bat Parah who did the drawing. Moshe was the object. Why isn't he named Mashui? Says the Chizkuni of Rav Hirsch. There was a message. You, Moshe, were Mashui. That doesn't give you privileges. It gives you responsibilities. When you grow up, be a Moshe. You were saved from the water. When you grow up, save others from their disasters, from their tzar. And that was the name Moshe Rabbeinu carried his entire life. And he learned the lesson well. Bat Parah taught him well. And although I don't have any source for this, I wouldn't be surprised if Bat Parah encouraged him when he was Ola L'Gdula to go out and see what he can do for his brothers. This is the last week of regular classes before the middle of the year. For most of us, it's a midpoint. We'll have a bit of a break, a bit of a change in schedule. Then in another 3 weeks, we'll start again. For some people, it's the last week of a somewhat longer journey. It's the end of a certain era, the beginning of a new one. Those who stayed for Shana Bet, and those who came last January from down under, Australia, from South Africa, and they're getting ready, they've already nearing the end of the year. So a bit of a message. It's a message that applies to everyone. You've been here for a year, you've been here for a year and a half. You've been immersed in Torah. And then Mayim el Torah. And now you're leaving that atmosphere. But to a certain extent, you're a Mashui. Kimin Amayim Ishisiyu. You're coming out of the water. But you're connected to the water. But the message that Bas Parah would tell you is that you can't just be an object. You have a certain rank. You're able to spend a year and a half here in Eretz Yisrael, in Yushalayim, here in MMY. And you achieved a great deal. That doesn't give you any privileges. gives you responsibilities. And if you've benefited from Torah, if you've been able to be immersed in Torah, then go out and wherever you are, spread that Torah. Share that Torah. Share not only the words of Torah, but Bezos Hashem, that love of Torah, that Ahavas Torah. It should be contagious. Each one of you in your own way. There's no precise formula. But you have that responsibility. But you have to remember that you can't share Torah unless you have an abundance of Torah. And if you think that your learning has been completed, you're making a mistake. Learning is a lifetime process. I don't know how soon it's going to be as intense as it was for this last year, a year and a half. And in many ways, it may never be as intense. But you should always be involved in Torah. Because only if you yourself are involved in Torah can you share Torah. Only if you strengthen your Torah lifestyle can you share that lifestyle with others. You need to work on that. Through learning, through your machshavot, keeping a connection. And there's one thing that you need to realize, to remember. Whether we like it or not, whether you like it or not, you leave this base medrash, and you go back home, you represent Torah. And you may say, me? Seminary for a year, year and a half. I represent Torah, yes. That's the way people will view you. You become Torah's ambassadors. And that is a very heavy responsibility. Because how you speak and how you act, how you dress, how you spend your time, how you deal with others, and how you deal with the Ribono Shel Olam, people will say that's the ambassador of Torah. It's not a burden. It's not a position I don't think anybody would like to have. Because we're only human. And we're frail. And we make mistakes. And we don't always speak the way we should and act the way we should. Rabbi Beryl Wine always says, don't confuse Jews with Judaism. Yadut is perfect. Jews are people. But you're going to be in that position. You can never forget that. And it's not easy. Because you're going to need to balance between your Bein Adam L'Chavero and your Bein Adam L'Makom. And sometimes you're going to think mistakenly that you have to sacrifice one for the other. Achieving a balance doesn't mean sacrificing. It means figuring out that almost perfect way that you're true to one as much as you're true to the other. When I heard from Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein Zatzal, he's talking about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal. He was giving a hespit for him. And he said about Rav Shlomo Zalman, who is medakdek bahalacha in every single little detail in his Bein Adam L'Makom, that anybody who really knew Rav Shlomo Zalman could say about him, said it in Yiddish, quoting somebody else, Els geven de sheinste yid in ganz Yerushalayim. He was the nicest Jew you could meet in all of Yerushalayim. As perfect as his Bein Adam L'Makom was, it's just as perfect as Bein Adam L'Chavero. There was no compromise in either. It was just this perfect balance. That's not an easy goal. But it's a goal you all need to strive to achieve, whether we're still here 3 weeks from now or elsewhere. And it's the kind of goal, as the Pasuk in Yeshayahu says, and the Gemara in Masechet Yoma quotes it in this context to a certain extent. The Kadosh Baruch Hu takes a look at Bnei Yisrael and sees how much they strive to be the best kind of person, the best kind of Jew that they can be. And with great pride, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "You are Yisrael asher b'chayet pa'er." You are Am Yisrael who bring glory to my name.